Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Just knowing what you're capable of and not quite being capable of that right now. You know, I know what I can do on the basketball court. My teammates, hopefully the Hawks, know what I can do on the basketball court. So, man, it's just frustrating when you don't do that.
Sports Radio 99 The Game at 99TheGame.com. I'm Marty Spellman of our Atlanta Hawks. The guys working out at the Summer League out in Las Vegas. Hawks played the first game. They got the T-Wolves coming up in their second game. But before that, they got some news. Some things have become official for our team, Greg.
I could not be more surprised. This is like Coco Gauff. Hearing from this dude at this time, given what time zone he's in.
But he's up on everything that's going on.
He is. We just heard from a minute ago. Our own Deshaun Tate is out in Las Vegas. NBA Summer League action. Obviously following the Hawks and all the other movement that is going on out there. So he calls a minute ago with an update.
Yeah.
It's, what, 6 o'clock, 6 says 5-something, isn't it?
He never went to sleep.
5 a.m.
It's 5 a.m. in where you are.
5 a.m.
He ain't been to bed yet.
Man. Deshaun, man, thank you, first of all. Have you been
good
to bed
thing.
Or you just been staying up all night long?
I took a power nap. A power nap. Okay. We call it a power nap. I took a power nap.
Okay. All right,
there
man.
There we go. There
so
we
listen,
go.
You called a minute ago. You had some news. What's up?
Yeah, no. It's actually official that the deal is done, that DeAndre Hunter, him, and both Bruno Fernando, the draft picks, are finally officially an Atlanta Hawk rosters. Now, so hopefully we'll get a chance to see them. I was thinking we could see them as early as today in their game later on, or as late as Tuesday because they don't have a game on Monday. However, they haven't had any practice time just yet because it hasn't been official. So I'm thinking that it'll be leaning a little bit more towards Tuesday. The press conference will be a little bit later on, probably around like 8:30 on the Eastern time in the evening.
So, Deshaun, they just flying in today, or have they already been out there just kind of hanging out waiting for this to go? Because, you know, I'm among a lot of people who are like, why do they have to go through this? It's kind of counterproductive because you play in summer league. They need to be out there with the rest of the team getting some reps in and playing, and they're having to wait for things to become official. Are they just getting to Vegas, or have they already been out there?
Well, they were out here checking out the game on yesterday. That the Hawks played. However, they were not able to sit where all of the other guys were, I guess, where you could have along that
why?
Same
row. What difference does that make?
You can't sit at the big kids' table, man. You got to sit at the kids' table over here.
I do not
what's
understand.
What's up with that? What's up with that?
I wish I had the answer for you, but I actually tried to get some audio and interview with them on yesterday, and obviously because the deal was not officially done just yet, and the pen was not put to the paper just yet, then I couldn't. However, hours later it was, and then at that time, it's official now. So we'll get an opportunity to speak with them later on today. Again, that press conference will take place. That'll also be, you know, Fox Sports South and all that other good stuff. So officially now we do have DeAndre Hunter and Bruno Fernando both as Atlanta Hawks.
Okay, here you go. I mean, look, this is the silliest rule. This is making Mr. Crenshaw want to jump out the window up here. You got to wait and everybody knows what's up.
Everybody knows what's up, and the guys are there.
Hey, listen.
And they have to sit somewhere.
Let's get his perspective. Long as he's out there, you have seen some other things. Talk about some of the things that you have seen while you're out there that have given you reason to pause.
I'm sorry?
What's some of the things beside the earthquake? By the way, where were you when the earthquake hit?
I was in I was inside of the arena watching the Pelicans in the Knicks game, and I wasn't sure if Zion had dunked so hard that there was an after effect that caused everything. But you know, I'm in there and I'm writing down some notes on the table, and the table's kind of shaking. I figure it'll pass over. And I'm still writing, and I've kind of had it. And I look down the row at the guys that were sitting there. I'm like, hey, excuse me.
would you guys mind stop shaking the table, please? I'm trying to work over here. Meanwhile, they're looking down the row at me like, sir, will you please stop shaking the table? I'm trying to work over here. So from that standpoint, I kind of figured everybody was picking up and running, getting out of the building to leave, because it was not long before that they had just announced that Zion was not going to be playing for the rest of the game. So I figured that's why everybody got up and was leaving the arena. But when I start seeing people run out of the arena, that's when my little natural instincts started to kind of kick in and said, everybody's running for a reason. I don't know why, but I'll figure it out later.
Sam Craig, Sports Radio,
wow.
92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. Our own Deshaun Tate, who's out in Las Vegas covering the NBA Summer League and our Atlanta Hawks and what's going on with them. Sam, I'm telling you, as he's telling me this story and I'm picturing people out there, there was a man who was an actor back in the 40s and 30s, actually, whose name evokes a certain sort of reaction to things. It's not the most politically correct, but there were a whole lot of folks looking like Step and Fetch It when they realized that there was a hurricane hitting and eyes were bugged out and people were running all sorts of ways. Let me ask you a question. What were the after effects? I mean, were people able to get back into the gym, or was it shut down for the day? When were you allowed to go back into the arena where you were at?
Well, what they did was they canceled out the rest of that game and the remainder of the games that is right there in the Thomas and Mack Center. Now, the other games that they are playing is in Cox Pavilion, which is connected to Thomas and Mack Center. But those games got an opportunity to continue to go on throughout the course and the duration of the rest of the night. I guess the reason behind that was because the Thomas and Mack Center, that is more of it's kind of more arena structured, and it has the hanging scoreboard and speakers and things of that nature. With those things swaying back and forth is why they didn't want to, try to be more precautious more than anything. And then in the other arena, it's more so of a gym where you have the scoreboard posted to the wall. So there was nothing to necessarily be hanging and swaying back and forth that can cause any kind of problems or harm to players and things like that. So
were you
some
in,
games went on, some games didn't.
Deshaun, were you in the building for the Clippers and Lakers game?
I was not in the building, actually. I did get a chance to watch it on TV.
The reason for asking was because there was a scene that they were showing over and over again of LeBron coming into the building with Anthony Davis. And they got their seat, and then LeBron walked over and had an extended conversation with Jerry West. And that was something that to any basketball fan, you got to – and I guess what had just happened the prior 24 hours, you got to wonder what those two dudes were talking about. But just to be there and wonder what you saw being in that building for that particular game, and I wanted to get your perspective – on what's going on. But what is given that trade and what's going – trade, I keep saying trade. Well, Paul George, but the Clippers and what they've done, what's been the conversation that you've dealt with while you've been out there?
Just how much more and more crazy that the NBA, is getting, and how nobody saw this coming. Now, granted, you ask people all around. Of course, everybody knew that this was going to happen, but realistically, I don't think this is something that realistically anybody knew was going to happen. And as shocking as it is, I'm just thinking about, the generation that it is now and the era that it is and how much things are changing and happening in life as we go through the from millennial stage to now, what is it, like Generation X, and so many different things. Things are changing all across the board with everything in life. So this makes it not so surprising to me. I mean, we're talking about the Clippers. Like, I mentioned this to you guys yesterday. We're talking about the Clippers, an organization that nobody ever wanted, growing up, at least in my generation, nobody ever wanted to get drafted to. Nobody ever wants to play for that team. Like, if you played for the Clippers, that was like playing for it almost was like playing for the G League, almost, in a sense. It had that kind of feel, and now it is the place to be. When you start saying L.A., most people used to think L.A. Lakers. Like, you would never even think L.A. Clippers. Now you really have to ask, like, which L.A.? It's mind-boggling, to be honest with you. It really is. For this news to break while I'm out here. And you know what? And I want to make sure that I said this real quick, too. I'm sorry for getting long-winded. But there's obviously a lot of buzz about free agency, the frenzy, and all that kind of stuff in the trades between, the Nets and the Lakers and the Clippers. make no mistake about it, these people out here, the Atlanta Hawks is getting a lot of traction, of traffic, a lot of buzz, a lot of positivity. Every time people are, hey, what do? I'm a reporter for the Atlanta Hawks. Man, everybody's excited. We can't wait to see what they're putting together and Travis Link and the future looking so bright. People love what this organization is doing and the direction is headed. So I'm really happy to hear that, you know, and to tell people, Hawks Nation back in Atlanta, that you're not the only ones excited. There's a lot of other people excited. We got something really good for people to get behind there in Atlanta.
Love that. Love that. That's what we love to hear about, Deshaun. I mean, we've been hearing about it here. And it's great to hear that you're in that environment, people talking about players and the best teams and the best run organizations in the league. And Atlanta's getting their share of that. This is something that we're excited about and nice to hear. It's getting a little buzz on the national scene.
Go get some sleep, man.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm in Las Vegas, man. What do you mean sleep? In Las Vegas.
Ain't no party is starting at 5 in the morning. They're just closing up now. You got to hose down the streets and get ready for whatever happens at noon.
Yeah, it's not, you know what? Basketball, I'm not even worried about the party stuff. I'm just really excited about these Hawks, excited about, you know, being in Las Vegas and doesn't sleep, but the basketball, you dribble the basketball here, I'm going to be there. If they dribble the basketball on the moon, Clark and Crenshaw, I'm going to the moon. We got to get me credentials to the moon.
We're going to do that.
All right, Deshaun.
As long as you keep the earth still, okay? No more ground movement, all right?
Thank you, guys. At Take Sports on the Twitter.
That's it.
That is Deshaun. Listen, let's not have a short memory. What he said about the Clippers.
Yeah,
and where they used to be,
it'd be a punishment.
Is the same thing that when
they sent you that ship. Yeah. It used to be like back in the day when they shipped NFL players to Green Bay.
That's exactly what I was going to say.
That was exactly what I was going to say. Right.
People don't think, may not be old enough to remember, but there was a long stretch between them Bart Starr years and when they went out and got a guy who was considered a party boy from Buckhead here in Atlanta.
Yeah.
Because Jerry Glanville wasn't going to put him in, right?
Right.
And they went and came and got Brett Favre from down here, and everything changed. And then Reggie White, as a free agent, went on his own to Green Bay.
Wanted to go.
And changed everything for that organization. So it just takes a move like this for an organization to turn the corner. So what has been – and let's not forget, part of why the Clippers were the Clippers and why nobody wanted to go there was that idiot owner. Who's not?
Yeah, but it was just – they just had a string of, like, bad things happen when players went out there.
Why would that happen? See, but where'd they start at, remember? It was San Diego.
San Diego.
Who don't want to go play and work in San Diego? And then they go to L.A. Anyway, they're in the Donald Sterling and that Clippers team is in the rearview mirror, so let's not rehash that. The woman who is getting it done on the world stage right now, 15 years old, she has got a past. She's got a pass.
It's only 15 years.
She's got a pass, and we're going to talk about that next. Coco Gauff is going to join Sam and Greg, not literally, but what she's doing up at Wimbledon. Here on Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com.
I'm really happy for those guys. You know, they gave the effort. That's all I can ask for. I knew we were going to be pretty good defensively. I knew scoring was going to be tough to come by.
Right.
But for the guys that played, I'm really happy for them.
I mean, there's so much going on. I don't – I'm – just still shocked that I'm even here.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. That's the voice of 15-year-old Corey Coco Gauff. Grew up here in Atlanta in the young years and moved to Florida now. She's 15 and she's a star. Very poised. And she has been the big story at the biggest tennis tournament of the year at Wimbledon. And Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 99.
You got to get that part in.
Absolutely, absolutely.
We get a call.
On this Sunday morning. Thanks for spending Sunday morning with you. We talked about her throughout the morning, and now we're going to bring in someone who's got to know her when she lived here in Atlanta and got a chance to work with her and at a very, very young age. On the waitfor.com hotline, Jewel Peterson of Peterson Tennis joining us now. Jewel, good morning to you.
Morning.
Good morning. Good morning, Sam and Greg. Thank you so much for having me this morning.
Absolutely.
My goodness. Greg, you wanted to ask her from the beginning.
I've had a number of questions. I mean, just
sure.
See, now you threw me off.
Okay.
I was gonna follow your lead. I wanted to talk about her poise.
Okay,
that was one of the things.
You jump into the poise. How did you end up meeting this girl? Because she was a child at the time that you met. Well, she's still a child. That's why we're talking about her past, and she's 15 years old.
Yeah.
How did you get connected with Coco, and at what age was she?
Well, you know, she was 7 years old, and I have been, you know, a top collegiate player, and then a professional. And then after I retired, you know, I got into coaching, And actually, it was a little girl that was actually working with my dad at the time, a little girl by the name of Morgan White.
Morgan.
Probably remembered her. I know, Sam, you've done number of stories on her. She's great friends with Corey's dad, with her dad, Corey Goff. And he contacted me. He'd been talking to John. I'd done some work with John and with Morgan, of course. And, you know, he contacted me and just said, yeah, look, I'm looking for a private coach for Coco. You know, are you interested? And from there, we started talking about routine and what was going to happen. And we got out on the court, and that was that.
All right. See, now don't do that again. You threw me all off here. And she said something that actually spurred on my next question.
Okay, go ahead.
All right, you ready?
I'm ready.
Jewel, what I wanted to ask you was, what is it that you see in a parent that lets you think that, yeah, I can coach this kid? Because I would imagine tennis coaches, gymnastics coaches all the time get parents and they say, will you be a private coach to my kid?
Yes.
You got to say no from time to time. But what was it about Coco that you went, no, I got something special here?
Well, you know, I had heard about her prior to working with her, you know, and I love working with kids early on in their early development. It's one of my favorite parts of the development of a player. And so when he came to me, I thought, well, one, I'd heard about her, and then two, I'm thinking, okay, if I have a parent coming to me talking about private lessons, okay, this kid is probably already motivated, because you're not going to ask a coach to work with a 7-year-old, because it's really unheard of, and actually do private hours. We're talking about 2.5 to 3 hours a day from Tuesday through Friday. That was our routine. And Greg, let me tell you, Greg and Sam, let me tell you, when I tell you she would get out on that court, she would come out every day and she would drop her bags on the court. She would immediately run and start doing her dynamic routine. I never had to tell her to do it. Never had to prompt her. She never asked. She knew exactly what to do every single time she got to the court. So we're talking about a kid that was already motivated, who already had big dreams and big goals. You know, I knew she wanted to play on a high level, to play as a professional, because she told me. She told me, I wanted to play on the big stage, coach. I want to play in the Grand Slams. I want to play at the U.S. Open and French Open, and now Wimbledon. So, you know, from the start, I knew, okay, this kid really wants it.
Jewel, I want to stop you real quick here, because you mentioned a tennis term, for our audience who doesn't follow tennis as closely as us. We understand coming, you know, getting the court and hitting the ball, but you said her dynamic routine. Explain for our audience who doesn't understand what that means. What is that?
Sure. It's pretty common among any athlete, okay? It's a dynamic routine. It's just your warm-up, okay? So it would consist of exercises where it's a combination of stretching and moving at the same time. So you're probably familiar with the old school way, Greg, okay? Which is static. You call it static stretching, where you literally just sit there and you hold the stretch. But now, with science and technology, we understand that you can actually get a better stretch if you're actually stretching and moving at the same time. One, it stretches, of course, the muscles, but then at the same time, it gets them ready, gets them warmed up. So when you start, you can start a little bit more intensely, as opposed to, okay, now I've been standing still this entire time, now I got to get the body going. But because you've been doing a dynamic stretch, your muscles have already started moving, if you will. So that's the big difference now. That's the big change.
Okay. You got that, Greg. Yeah. You take notes on that?
Yeah, I'm talking to the audience.
Oh, okay, all right.
We know that, because we stretch before we go on the air.
But here's the thing.
Greg's old school. He doesn't know about that.
I know about that. Doing it right now, as a matter of fact.
We're spending some time on the Waiting for a Doc Hotline with Jewel Peterson. Coach Coco Goff, when she lived here in Atlanta, when she was very, very young, before her family moved up to Florida. Now, talk about the things that led her to be like a normal kid, because you would meet her every day. And tennis wasn't the only sport she was involved with.
Right, this was not the only sport she was involved with. She was doing gymnastics on Mondays, and I thought that that was genius. I can't say enough about her parents. They're very supportive of me coaching her, and they just seemed to do everything right. And I thought putting her in gymnastics was great, because one, is going to work on her foot flexibility, and then it also worked in her upper body strength. So that really allowed her at a very early age to be able to really hit the ball hard for a 7-year-old. And on top of that, we were using the yellow ball. Okay, so there's a little bit of a difference here now with the type of balls that we're using, particularly with junior players. So there was a big push for 10 and under tennis, which was basically a push to get to make tennis on a junior development trend, which basically what happens is you're using mini little softballs, okay? You're using a smaller racket, and then you're using shorter nets. And the whole goal was to make the game more kid-friendly. And I was working with her at the time that this big transition was happening, where 8 and 7 and 9 and 10-year-olds were not playing with the normal standard racket or normal standard ball. They were now playing with these softer, more spongier balls and playing with smaller rackets. And this is a big effort to help kids be able to just be more successful early on. But here's why I'm telling you that story, is because we didn't do that with Corey. With Coco, she was already on the yellow ball when I got her, and then there was no need for her to change. She was so strong that she had she just had the tenacity, and she had the desire to get out and go after the ball. So if a ball was to get out of her strike zone because of her height, she would give the effort needed in order to make sure she got it in the right strike zone. So, you know, early on we could see that this was a kid that was really motivated, and she was not going to go the normal standard pathway that now, well, the new pathway that everybody was moving to. And then to your point about her being a kid, you know, when I would pick her up from school, she would get in the car, she'd always sit in the back seat, and she and I would talk about school. She'd tell me what happened, and I'd ask her more questions about school, and then, like clockwork, she would fall asleep. She did this Tuesday through Friday. She would fall asleep every time. So by the time we got to the clubhouse, I'd have to wake her up. And then, you know, she'd wake up, she'd be half asleep, she'd walk in the clubhouse, still half asleep, change her clothes, come out, and the look in her eye was a look of, let's go get it. I mean, the way she would transition from being a little kid that just wants to take a nap to a kid that says, I want to be at Wimbledon tomorrow, was incredible. And, you know, that was what was so special about her. Her parents were never at the practices. They would come afterwards and come and pick her up when they got down with work, but they were never there. And, you know, to this day, I still have never seen a 7 or 8-year-old with that type of motivation. Because normally you'll have, you know, a player, they'll have some days when they'll be kind of into it. And this is somebody, you know, maybe 10 or 11 or 12 years old, but certainly not at 7. I mean, at 7 years old, she was so motivated. And the thing about it is that you would normally have a parent standing there, and the parent would really, you know, kind of motivate them to do the right thing.
Right.
But she would do the right things even when they weren't there.
Yeah, Jewel.
It was incredible.
Jewel, I remember your dad, Ernie Peterson, saying about Morgan saying, as a process, we're not going to hurry the process. But this seems like something when the process kind of hurries you. As you watch her play now, what of that 7-year-old are you seeing as she plays there? And what are your hopes for her this coming week? I mean, she's done something tremendous so far. There's still more tennis for her to play.
Yes, and it's exciting, isn't it? She's got to play Halep. That's going to be a great match for her. You know, I believe in Coco. I know she can do it. I know she can beat her. You know, here's what she's got to do to beat Halep. You know, in the last couple of, you know, the last three matches, what we saw from her was such composure. So you would see the upward and downward swing of the match, right? The win, you win a point, lose a point. She'd win a point, lose a point. And then she got to a point where she was down 2-5, I believe it was.
Right, right.
In the last match.
Right.
Yes, and we watched her rally back. You know, she's got to be able to battle throughout the entire match knowing that Halep's going to hit some good shots, but she's also got to believe that she's going to hit some good shots as well. Halep's going to make some errors, and just know you're going to make some errors as well. Just know and expect it to be a battle. Expect it to be some struggle, some tug of war. We all know Halep. Halep does not lay down.
Nope.
Halep is one of those players who will die fighting. So Coco's just got to remember that this girl's been out here a long time. She's not going away. She's going to hit some good shots. Expect her to do that. And when she does, hats off to her, but let's regroup. Think about what you want to do the next point, and let's get after it. She's got to, number one, stay aggressive, and number two, keep her composure. if she can do both things, which is what she did. I was so impressed with her the other day.
Yeah.
You know, she's down to five because normally you're having to coach a player. We worked on this a lot, but you're having to coach a player to, when you're down, to still go after him. You know, go get it. Don't try to just give it to him or hope that they give it to you. You know, don't try to be conservative and just put the balls up the middle with no pace behind them. You're really trying a player to go after it, stay aggressive, come forward, take it back from them. And it's so hard for players to do that. You see them wanting to just put the ball inside the court, but with Coco, she kept coming.
Yeah.
And that's what she has to do against Halep.
This is Jewel Peterson joining Sam and Greg here, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. Childhood coach of Coco Gauff. We just have a minute or so left here. I want to get your thoughts. Forget, remove your coaching hat for a minute. Go back to just being a tennis fan. Could you just give us your overview of the state of American tennis, be it the men's or the women's game right now, and where you see it headed?
I think we're doing good. I do think we're doing, you see, you're starting to see more and more players pop up on the men's and women's side. I still think we got a long way to go. You know, when it comes to being on the clay, you know, that's a tough surface for us, you know, so we've got to definitely do some work on that. U.S. Open, we seem to pretty much do pretty fairly well in that tournament. I'd like to see more Americans popping up through that. But I think the biggest thing we're always going to have to remember is to work hard. We're playing against other countries where, you know, tennis is the only thing that they have. And that is something where you see a desire for something that we as Americans could never even imagine or ever even develop, only because we are born pretty much entitled. So we're always going to have to work harder and be reminded that what we're playing against, the people that we're playing against, the athletes that we're playing against the other countries, you know, this is their bread and butter. This is all that they have. And that's always going to be a big task for us as Americans, but we can get the job done. But if you watch, that's one of the biggest struggles I believe that we're always going to have, that we're always going to run up against, and that is we have options.
Yeah.
And so many athletes that you see in these draws, they don't have options. And so we're always going to have to work extremely hard in order to match what they bring.
Yeah. Jewel, we thank you for spending some time with us and telling us a little bit about the young Corey Coco Gauff. Next thing is the younger Corey, because he's 15 years old. But thank you for spending some time with us.
Thank you, Jewel.
So good to catch up with you.
Thank you so much for having me. Thank you so much for having me. It's an honor.
All right. That is Jewel Peterson, who teaches youth tennis in the area, and she's also in the ministry, so she's on her way to church this morning. But we thank her for spending some time and sharing the story about this very special young lady. And it gets back, we didn't get back anymore until the age requirements and the limits that are on her.
We just have to have her back.
You know, we'll do that. We'll talk about that.
Have her back here. All right, get your popcorn and watch and see what happens in week 2 with Coco.
Yeah.
And she hits back, goes back to the court tomorrow. Right. And does Serena, right?
And Serena's back tomorrow.
So, check it out. All right, it's Sam Gregg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. Sam and Gregg, morning.
Morning.
Morning, Georgia.
Morning.
Say that. Let me remind you about a big event that's going to start in about an hour and 20 minutes or so, right? About an hour and 20 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Those of you that were wondering what to do late morning, you're back in town, you had a good holiday on Thursday, and, man, I want to do something before the rain hits. And even if the rain comes, I want to be able to enjoy some sporting event. Well, what better place than Mercedes-Benz Stadium to watch the U.S. Women's World Cup final.
Yeah.
Then on the halo up at Mercedes-Benz Stadium.
Yeah.
Can you think of a better place?
That's going to be nice.
Other than your own sofa. And if you ain't going to sit there and watch it.
Come on down.
Come on down, please.
You know.
Plenty of good parking. Because see, here's the deal. You will be there before Atlanta United take on New York Bulls.
Yeah.
All right. So you get a good parking spot. You know what I'm saying?
In there.
And you get to go check out and say hello to Hugh and John Fricke.
Yeah.
They're going to be at the front porch.
Okay.
Right? So you go by there, you see them, you get yourself a nice seat, and you watch.
They might have something for you.
Ooh, you're throwing in a little wrinkle there, huh?
They might. Who knows? You never know unless you go by.
I say that all the time. You haven't learned this yet because you still got some TV in you. But when you're in radio, you got to have a trunk full of free stuff.
You got to have some stuff.
Because what's the point of having a friend in radio if you ain't got a free T-shirt?
There you go.
Yeah,
there you
so
go.
You got to have something like that. So anyway, the viewing party is at Mercedes-Benz Stadium from 10 until 1:30. Well, up until Atlanta United's field, right?
Right.
And so here's your opportunity to go there with all your other soccer friends.
That.
And, moreover, a chance if you haven't been in Mercedes-Benz Stadium. Are you surprised at the amount of people you run into that still haven't been in there?
Yeah. You know, and we have a lot of opportunities,
yep.
a lot of events going on there. And this is one today. And, you know, it should be great. And, of course, the food is affordable.
Yes, it is. That's Mr. Blake has done nothing else.
That is the other great thing about going to Mercedes-Benz Stadium. The food is affordable.
That's the one thing that the rest of the owners and all of American professional sports hate about Mr. Blank.
What are we doing here in Atlanta?
He hates it. They think it's a great idea. You know, publicly they'll say that, but they can't stand it because that's cutting into their money. And he does a great job of that.
We're just changing the way people think some things in Atlanta. You know, just the way we're doing some things here in town. And I mean, that's the other thing. I don't know. We take it for granted, I guess, because it's here in our town. But just know how much other cities look at what we do and want to try to mimic it, especially what we've done with our soccer team.
Well, not only that, we just had Deshaun Tate on a little while ago. He's out in Vegas, and the conversation that swirls around the Atlanta Hawks and what's being done, and people are talking about that. And that's something that, again, having known you for a number of years, you get worked up into a lather about how the rest of the national media talks about Atlanta teams.
Oh, yeah.
And the city as a whole.
Yeah. Right. You know, and certain folks that we see on television and here all the time, never have anything good to say about him. Mike Wilbon, who never has anything good to say about Atlanta and got relatives all over town. I know this man's family members all over town.
Who's that, Wilbon?
Yes.
A Chicagoan, by the way.
Well, yeah, but he got a lot of family here.
Yeah, I know.
I'm going to school with a couple of his cousins.
Right.
So I'm just saying, you know, I know the family, and I wish y'all next time you have family reunion. And next family reunion, put him at the kids' table.
Yeah.
I got, especially with him, don't let him sit with the grown
folks.
There's
even a couple of Chicagoans that don't want nothing to do with him.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, he's always down on Atlanta.
Cranky.
Anything.
He's,
always.
He's like, he got like sandpaper draws on or something. That's the way he just talks about stuff.
Yeah,
so you just got to dismiss
but
him. Man.
But especially about Atlanta, man. You know, he's always that way. And I'm delighted right now that our NBA team is changing the way that people are seeing it from the outside. And you know, and impressing some people and making some great moves. And so I'm that's another reason I'm excited about
it. Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. Sam and I, if you just join us, you got something on the tip?
No, we're talking about, you know, the atmosphere and nature, you know, impacted some things. And we talk about what's happening with the Summer League. We just asked Deshaun Tate if the earth moved anymore while he was out there. He was actually inside the place when that happened, man.
You didn't like that step and fetch it analogy, did you?
No.
It was just, I know you could have came up with a better one, but that's the only one I could think of with, you know, that look on your face.
But folks got up and moved. Just what he was talking about. He's sitting at the scorer's table and says, "Hey, Goose, stop up on the table." And they look at him like, "Why don't you stop bumping the table?"
Yeah. If you've never been in one, and Deshaun has never been in one, he's from Michigan.
From Michigan. They don't have them up there.
And he
they have other stuff going on, but they don't have that going on.
What else they got up there? Because that's what somebody's yelling at the radio right now at my house.
What?
Well, you just said that so freely. Yeah. Like, they got other stuff going on up there.
Like the winters.
Yeah. That's just snow falls and it gets cold.
Just like the winters. No, it's freezing and cold up there.
Yeah, that's right. They got that in a lot of places up north.
We don't have that around here.
You weren't here a few years ago when the interstate froze over.
Oh, I was around here when that happened.
Okay, that happens from time to time down here.
Every now and then. Just because we don't have all the things to go out and treat the roads. Of course, we've changed some of that now, too.
You know what the folks in Michigan like to tell you?
What's that?
That they have the longest coastline in America. They do.
Really?
Michigan has the longest coastline of any state, short of an island. In America.
Even longer than from Chicago to Milwaukee?
That's Lake Michigan. That's one lake. That's only an hour and a half. The entire state of Michigan is, I think it covers two lakes. You got the Upper Peninsula, too. Yeah, the UP.
UP, yeah.
So they like to tell you that. Deshaun will tell you that anytime you get a chance to.
Okay.
Sam and Greg, Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. Speaking of shore and water, can I just get this off my chest real quick?
Go ahead.
We saw last week, over the 4th of July, footage from many areas of the country where people were celebrating 4th of July, right? Unfortunately, they had some people that were dealing with sharks and shark, not attacks, even though that's happened over the last few weeks, but, you know, sharks were in the area down by some beaches. And in this one shot they had a drone that was flying. A guy, I don't know if he brought it with him, brought a drone and had it hovering over the shoreline where his family was swimming. Then a shark showed up. Not close, but still close enough to, you know, get your attention.
Yeah.
And he started screaming and they ran out the water. Here's my point. Why doesn't every municipality that's up against a shoreline around the world have this technology? Because we hear about shark bites all the time, right?
Right.
And then we also hear about how rare they are, but yet you're just telling me about one right now. Why wouldn't you, if you are a city, state, whatever, get yourself for the beach area of your particular state, hire yourself a couple drones, let everybody know they're there, have some kind of signal to the lifeguards or somebody on the beach there that has like one of them, you know, the halftime sounds, you know, we get an NBA game. Exactly. Hit that thing when that drone sees a shark. Boom, done. We're done with, I mean, listen, you're still going to deal with stepping on jellyfish and all that sort of stuff.
Right, right.
But I saw that and I went, well, that solves a problem right there. This is where technology could actually help all of us, not just here in America, around the world. Every place that's got a shoreline where sharks could be, not even that you see them regularly.
Right.
Get yourself a couple drones, solve the problem. Am I crazy?
Oh, well, you can fly out there. You still got to make the people leave.
I'm saying, and you have that NBA horn. Folks, when you see that, it'd be signs up when you go to the beach. When you hear the horn, that means the shark's in the area. And you can say within a mile. I'm sure they'd be able to know if it's within, you know, whatever radius it is to where people are swimming. And then you hit that horn, boom, everybody gets out of the water. What do you think?
That's a good idea.
Yeah. And just, it should be around the world. This is not an American, but you and I got to put this together like that BB&T thing with Coco for next year. I come up with these ideas and we just kind of throw them out to people.
You're talking about the beach, I think, of down at Daytona where they did not race last night because there was rain all night last night at Daytona. So they moved the race that's usually run on 4th of July holiday weekend to this afternoon at 1 o'clock, weather permitting. Weather permitting. They hope to get the race in. Joey Logano on the pole for the race and the second stop at Daytona for the season really kicks us into the second half of the schedule for NASCAR's Cup Series as they count down to the playoff. And so didn't get the race last night. Let's see if they get it in today.
Also, one of the things that we haven't talked about but going on today, Big Three, Ice Cube's in town.
Yes.
Big Three going over at State Farm.
1 o'clock.
He's not up in Gwinnett anymore. This league is growing. He's in the big house. He's playing the big room.
Downtown today.
So you got your Big Three going a lot.
Going to be some familiar faces. I think we're going to see some former Hawks over there like Jason Terry and Jay Smooth. Josh Smith, we're going to see some of those guys.
All right. Yeah. It's Sam and Greg. Chances some jobs up next to Casting Call. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.